From Toronto, Canada, this is 1 Megahertz, an Apple II podcast. In this episode, some of you missed me and are glad that I'm back. Well, some of you missed me but plan to aim better next time. And there's a new Apple II magazine column on the block that actually stretches around the block. Also, the Apple II turns 30. Again. Jobs and Gates duke it out on stage, and I hunt for Hollywood treasures. All that, plus I ask your advice on what to drive to Kansas. Coming up on 1 Megahertz for June 2007. Welcome to 1 Megahertz, 8-bit Apple news and 2-bit Apple reviews. I'm a reasonable hand-drawn facsimile of Carrington Vanston. Thanks for listening. So, where have I been, you ask? And boy, did you ask. Nothing turns up the email-o-meter like taking a few unannounced months off. Along with lots of, hey, are you dead letters, I received, 4 offers to help host the podcast, or take it over in some form of coup, and 3 threats to come beat the canuck out of me if I didn't get my bottom in gear and fire up the mic again. So, the score currently stands at 4-3 in favor of helping me instead of shooting at my feet and yell and dance. But the voting is still open, so be sure to send your thoughts to dancemonkeydance@monsterfeed.com. As for where I've been, well, I'm a bit of a follower of whim, you know? I'm here, I'm gone, I'm home, I'm traveling. Plus, there was a girl. There's always a girl, huh? But this one is a French former model professional dancer who now makes toys for a living. So tell me you wouldn't take time out of your life for her. Oh, before I get too far into this, I should apologize for the echo. I'm now living in new digs, and the room I've picked for podcasting currently has bare walls and hardwood floor. So it's like I'm in WKRP's steel titanium vault, except I'm not nearly as cool as Johnny Fever. But then, who is? I will try to get some baffling to do its baffling best before the next cast. But for now, it's just me and Johnny in the vault. Think of it as 3D for your ears. Okay, so on to the Apple II fun. In the 16 and a half metric months since I last put pen to monitor and produced one of these podcasts, oodles and oodles and, yes, even more oodles of happenings have happened in the Apple II world. The big news, which might be the big and disappointing news if you missed the deadline, is that Kansas Fest 2007 is fast approaching. The end of May was the deadline for early bird registration, and if you meant to get registered before that, but thought, oh, I won't worry about missing it, I'm sure Carrington's podcast will give me the heads up, well then, I guess I'm no longer your favorite pod monkey, because I let you down. But there is still time to register for the year's coolest, bestest, keenest Apple II event, or so they tell me. You'll just have to pay a little more. As for me, I made it just under the wire. I have registered to attend my own very first Kansas Fest this year. I'm beaucoup excited, as the French don't say. In fact, I recorded a bit o podcast last week and had recorded the bit where I actually did the registering, but it made for fairly boring radio, let me tell you. So rather than regale you with the sounds of typing and clicking and long pauses, I thought I'd start again on this momentous day, June 5th. Though, when I'm actually going to get to post this, I'm not sure. I mean, it's the 5th for me. It could be August for you. It's going to be, I think, maybe up to a week until I get net enabled here and everything. I don't know. We'll figure it out. It's sometime in the future for you. For me, it's the 5th. Of course, the big question is, what is it about June 5th? What is the memento that makes this day so momentorific? Well, I'll get to that in a bit. Let's see if you can figure it out in the meantime. Let's finish up with Kansas Fest. As I said, I'm all registered and ready to go. I have a flight booked from ages back, but I'm thinking of driving down instead. I do love me a road trip. And I should have a new two-wheeled something by then, so I could make like Steppenwolf and get my motor running, head out on the highway, etc. We'll see. Actually, I'm going to ask for your advice about that at the end of the show. Right. Wait, where was I? Oh, right. The Fest of Kansas City. So, last week, there were some problems with the official Kansas Fest website. Something to do with ninjas, I think. So, I did my registering through kansasfest.org instead of kfest.org. Both are still live, but I think at this point it's still recommended that you use kansasfest.org as the leaping cliff if you want to jump in and register. And you do want to register, you know. Oh, yes, you do. Anyway, the event is going to take place from July 17th through the 22nd in Kansas City. As if you didn't know that, be there or be rectangular. In Otra news, did you know that Retro Gaming Times Monthly has an Apple II game review column? Me neither. The column is called Apple II Insider. That's cider with a C, just like old times. And it's by Donald Lee. Now, unfortunately, the column is a little hard to read online because it doesn't wrap to the browser window, at least not in my browser's O choice. Instead, the text just sort of sails off to the right, as if all the good bits are in the first dozen words of each paragraph. So, a quick check of the HTML code showed me that a pair of pre-tags is wrapping the whole shebang for some reason, and that's causing the ain't no window wide enough for me effect. So for now, if you're using a standards-based browser, and if not, sup with that, I suggest snagging the text of the articles with a little double-click, drag, and copy action, and pasting the entirety of the shebang into the text editor of your choice. Besides, nothing says I love the written word like plain old ASCII text anyway. You kids and your newfangled curly quotes. Why, when I was your age, we had to type uphill both ways to school, and the web was called Gopher, because we had to tie our letters to the backs of rodents and release them into tunnels that crisscrossed under the city. Now, back then, we didn't load up our letters with nonsense like HTML and huge attachments, not only because it was slower, but because it was, it would kill the gopher. Okay, how did I get down this gopher hole? Retro Gaming Times. So, the show notes will have the linky goodness, so you can check out both the Apple II Insider column along with the other fun retro gaming goodies. This month's article isn't a game review, though, so much as a nice happy birthday message to the Apple II, which turned 30 back on April 16th. Or maybe not. See, according to RetroThing, one of my favorite destinations for vintage tech loveliness, the Apple II turns 30 today, June 5th. So, which is it? Who's right? Retro Gaming Times or RetroThing? Clearly, there is only one way to decide. That's right. The editors for both sites are going to have to wrestle shirtless to Star Trek fight music. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh. You were going to suggest something like an Apple II history website, weren't you? I always jump right to the Trek wrestling. Okay, so let's check out what apple-history.com has to say to decide the matter. It just says, introduced 1977. Is that it? Yeah, okay, so no decision there. Score one for Trek wrestling. Okay, what about Apple II history? .org. You know, I gotta say, I love the content of this site, but every time I come here, I am stymied for a bit on where the heck am I supposed to go from the homepage. Where's the menu? Yeah, I guess I click on the history. Yeah, okay, here we go. The Apple II. Nothing. No dates at all. That's odd. Oh, there's a second part. You think I would do this before recording, huh? Ah, yes, here we go. It's got a timeline for both the Apple I and the Apple II, And this one says April 1977. We may have a winner, but it doesn't give a specific day. And it does say the new company was racing to have the Apple II ready for the first West Coast Computer Fair. That's fair with an E on the end. In April of 1977. Okay, so let's mosey on over to Wikipedia, where the info might all be made up, but at least it's made up in detail. Apple II. Yep, that's got it. Okay, the Apple II was introduced on April 16th, 1977, at the first West Coast Computer Fair. And the Wikipedia page for the West Coast Computer Fair says the same thing. Okay, we have a winner. Oh, and the Commodore PET was also introduced there. Anyway, I believe we have a winner, the great Apple II anniversary debate, and it's Donald Lee of Retro Gaming Times. Congratulations, Donald. But until he nixes those pre-tags, Donald doesn't get a cookie. Okay, so what else is new in old computers? Well, at the recent All Things Digital conference, Walt Mossberg emceed a joint interview with both Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. Sorry. Anyway, allthingsd.com has links to both video and audio-only versions of the interview, which are hosted on iTunes now, I believe. One of the most interesting parts of the interview comes at about the halfway mark, where if you look closely in the video, you can see Gates hold his fingers up like bunny ears behind Jobs' head, and then pretend to have just been stretching when Jobs turns around. I found that pretty funny. But even with that, I think I gotta say it was a little childish for Jobs to keep his ringer turned up on the iPhone and to keep answering it when Gates was speaking. I mean, come on. Well, okay, that wasn't too bad, but answering it by whispering, was it, "Oh, hi, Melinda, I can't talk now, call me later," that was a bit much. Anyway, you've probably already heard about the fisticuffs that ensued, and I gotta join the rest of the press in being startled, but not exactly overwhelmed with surprise when those Dr. Octopus arms came out of the back of Gates' suit. I was a little more surprised at Jobs' ability to use his reality distortion field to such effect in combat, of course, along with the Apple eye taser. Who knows what would have happened if it wasn't for the sudden appearance of singular CEO Stan Sigman, who bravely mounted the stage, pulled out his notoriously large stack of 3x5 note cards, and quickly put everybody to sleep. Of course, I may be misremembering some of the small details, but you can check it out for yourself. I'm sure the Apple II was mentioned in the interview somewhere. And I'm also sure that a more responsible and reliable podcaster would have told you all about it, but instead you've got me. I pity the Apple II community, I really do. I'll have a link to the interview in the show notes. And I think that's enough news for now. Let's get on to the reviews, or review in this case, just the one this month. I have finally started my word processor shootout, and I gotta tell you, so far it ain't looking good for the vintage choices versus the modern ones. There's still time to recommend your favorite old text cruncher if you'd like me to include a particular software piece in the mix. For now though, let's just go with my old standby, games. I'd meant to bring you a neat feature this month on a game everyone in the universe has played except me. Oregon Trail. It was a favorite of a friend of mine, and she was all booked to come over and play it with me on mic so we could see if the reality of the game lived up to her memories. But then I threw her a surprise party in a pizza place instead. So now she's gone traveling around Europe for a year, I think. Oh, speaking of which, if you're listening, hi, Aaron. So anyway, Oregon Trail is going to have to wait. Instead, I dipped into my box of Infocom games and selected another text adventure to explore. This time around, it was Hollywood Hijinks. And as usual, Infocom has delivered the goods. Okay, the premise is... actually, here, I will read you the premise straight off the box. Here's the box. Vampire Penguins, A Corpse Line, Meltdown on Elm Street. Who could forget these classic Hollywood movies produced by your uncle, Buddy Burbank? But his greatest masterpiece has yet to be experienced. Hollywood Hijinks, starring you. Your Uncle Buddy and Aunt Hildegard have passed away, but their memory lives on in their Malibu mansion, filled with a lifetime of Hollywood memorabilia, and you've inherited it all with one stipulation. You can only claim your booty if you find the treasures hidden throughout the sprawling beachfront estate. If you can't find the treasures in one night, you lose the whole caboodle. Caboodle is a great word, huh? Okay. It's just the sort of thing you'd expect from Aunt Hildegard and Uncle Buddy, and their home is familiar territory. You spent your childhood summers there with your cousin Herman. Although some say the house is haunted, you're not fooled. You know that Uncle Buddy, who wore a different polyester leisure suit every day of the week, was always rigging the place with goofy gags and booby traps. Inside the house, everything is just as glitzy and full of fun as you remember it to be. There's the luxurious private screening room, the gold-plated bathroom faucets in the shape of Oscars, and the wacky props from Buddy Burbank movies. The Malibu estate seems like a fun house at first, but the puzzles you must solve prove that Aunt Hildegard and Uncle Buddy weren't just kidding around. Claiming the Burbank bundle turns out to be quite a challenge, and it's all in your honor. Hollywood Hijinks is as zany as its author, Hollywood Dave Anderson. It's cram-packed with puzzles that will test the wits and tickle the ribs of both first-time and experienced players. So, sounds like fun, huh? And it is. It's your standard dark house adventure, just like in the movies from the 30s and 40s. It's got great atmosphere and lots of terrific puzzles. The premise for the game is attributed to Infocom staffer Liz Sear-Jones. I think it's pronounced Sear, C-Y-R. Well, the game itself is the only game written, as you heard, from written by Hollywood Dave Anderson. Now, I couldn't find what Hollywood has done since leaving Infocom in 1988, but I did stumble across some interesting stuff about his days with Infocom. He joined Infocom in 1983, and he was hired as a product tester. He was later promoted to manager of testing. Now, according to Infocom-IF.org, Hollywood was the only Infocom employee to be put on trial for murder. A multiple homicide, actually. Now, in this case, we're talking about an in-house Infocom trial, and the victims were three goldfish. Now, it seems that Hollywood had decided that the goldfish pond in front of the office building needed cleaning. So, he supposedly put the fish in a safe place, cleaned the pond, then returned the fish. One day later, three dead fish. Oh, I think I banged the mic. Sorry. So, his fellow Infocom employees, or imps, I think they called themselves, decided that Hollywood should be put on trial for the murder of the fish. Mark Blank acted as prosecuting attorney, and Steve Moretzky stood for the defense. Now, according to Infocom-IF.org, the results of the trial were published in Infocom's internal newsletter, InfoDope, and that reads as follows. Infotester Dave Hollywood Anderson was declared innocent by a jury of his peers in a sensational murder trial on Friday. The jury needed only 5 minutes to reach its verdict, declaring Anderson innocent of the charge of murdering three goldfish in the Apt Courtyard fish pond on Wednesday, November 16th. Now, it was lucky that Hollywood was found innocent because that left him free to eventually write Hollywood Hijinks, which is a typically fun and engaging Infocom game. The Infocom brand just seems to never let me down. Now, this one comes in the standard box format with the familiar gray stripes and a big picture on the front of a postcard and the house looking as if it's got a face sort of the windows and make a eyes, nose, and mouth and stuff. It's got Hollywood Hijinks, and Infocom Presents is done in the old-fashioned plane circling around a globe, like a, I guess it's the old Universal Pictures image. The inside the box, of course, are the legendary feelies that add so much to an Infocom game. Now, in this case, we have, well, first, the inside cover forms Tinsel World Magazine, volume 35, number 27. On the front, it's got Doc's Amazing Discovery, Dill Pickles Flush Out Cholesterol, Increased Stamina. So, you know about the pickles now. And this is the sort of thing Infocom puts in, that all these little articles and stuff need to be read so you know how to deal with props and get around puzzles within the game. It's got Crazed Gerbil Attacks Gramps, and it's the special Buddy Burbank Memorial issue. inside it's got a bunch of little articles, and it's done in the form of an old 1930s Tattler sort of here's another thing about the pickles, a Tattler sort of magazine. Very cheesy, but very funny, and it sets the stage for the sort of humor that's in the game itself, along with giving you lots of little clues that become necessary while you're playing. Inside, oh, on the back cover, actually, it's also got, you can find hidden treasures in your own home if you have a lucky palm tree swizzle stick. And speaking of which, if we open up the box, inside, another one of the feelies is this, the actual lucky palm swizzle stick. And on the ad, and I remember doing this when I was young, and I played this game, though I hadn't remembered much of the game itself. I played it back in the 80s. This is one of the Infocom games I had back then. And I had distinctly remembered putting the swizzle stick on top of the ad for the swizzle stick, because the ad says, show an actual size. So, of course, you take the swizzle stick and you stick it on the ad and you line them up and you see, yes, bang on. It is actually showing actual size. I bet you everybody who got this game did that exact same thing. So anyway, green plastic swizzle stick, the disc, Hollywood Hijinks, Apple II series. Then there's a photograph, a signed photograph of Buddy Burbank, your uncle. Well, you'll just have to see it. And on the back of the photograph, it's got a letter. It's written to you from your uncle. Hey, kiddo, this might open a few doors for you. And there's a poem. Now, the poem forms not just clues, but really part of the copy protection scheme. It's typical of Infocom that at least one of the feelies included is necessary for you to get past an early puzzle. In this case, get into the mansion. And you need to read the poem to be able to get past that puzzle. Different versions will come up when you play the game. Like, different question would be asked, east, west, that sort of thing. And you know what to answer based on this poem. The poem is, of course, available online anyway, so nowadays, quite easy to run that. Inside, as well, the other feelie is a pink letter with the heading Hildegard Montague Burbank from Malibu, California, 90265. I wonder if that's the accurate zip code. And this is the last will and testament of Hildegard and Buddy, and it explains to you how you and your cousins are receiving this, and that you're getting first crack at finding these treasures, but they take a long time to amass them all, and they assume that you will handle their estate well, but they want you to prove yourself, which is why you get the one night to find the 10 treasures. And if you can't, then they're going to give one of your cousins a shot at it to see if they're smarter than you. But obviously, the goal of the game is to prove yourself and solve the puzzles. See what else. The game is billed as being standard difficulty, which means, of course, it stymied me on a number of occasions. But I was able to complete it without resorting to a walkthrough or even looking at the Invisi clues, which you're going to find online. And for that accomplishment, I say, go me. Of course, the game plays like a treasure hunt, with the player having to find the 10 treasures in one evening, but the plot is interesting and funny enough to make it stand out from the typical treasure hunt adventure games. It's got the humor that really sets the game apart from the average adventure game, typical of Infocom. And if you're a fan of classic films, particularly the less than classic films, you'll find a lot that is chuckle-worthy in Hollywood Hijinks. I don't have any in-game sounds to play for you, because there are no in-game sounds. This is all text, baby. So the only sound is the clack, clack, clack of keys. Well, that and the occasional chuckle, groan, or often harumph of frustration from yours truly. The game is a little on the short side, but you get a lot of fun while it lasts, and the ending is terrific, well worth the journey to get there. So, none of this is a big surprise, since I'm an unabashed fan of Infocom, but I'm giving Hollywood Hijinks a big thumbs up. And another nice thing about Infocom games is that it's easy to find them online and play them on your platform of choice in the modern world. Anything from a real Apple II to your cell phone can play these things. All you need is an interpreter and the game's Z file, or Z file, for those of you in the US of A. And if you're looking for that Z and or Z file, I'm thinking show notes. And I guess that about wraps things up. But a couple of more things before I go. First, thanks to everyone who wrote in my absence. I always do enjoy reading listener feedback, even when I rarely have time to write anything back in return. I do enjoy getting your letters and stories about your own Apple II adventures, both current and past. And I did get quite a chuckle out of most of the threats that I received to start podcasting. You'd come rip me apart. I found that very funny. My listeners are engaging and somewhat threatening. And now that I'm back, you can expect me on a slightly more regular schedule, but not too regular. I mean, what fun would that be? Besides, my own Apple II hobby is somewhat sporadic, and this podcast is all about documenting that. So some months I use the Apple II a lot, some months I don't. So some months I podcast, some months I don't. I did just resume playing a game called Wasteland, which is so good that I expect next month will find me plunked down quite a bit in front of the yellowing plastic of my favorite retro computer. Plus, I definitely want to do another show before I head down to Kansas Fest. And speaking of which, at the top of the show, look at me sounding like a real radio guy, albeit in an echoey vault. I mentioned that I might be heading down to Kansas Fest on something on two wheels. Now, in the next couple of weeks or so, I'm going to buy myself something new. I'm a motorcycle fellow from way back, although for a time now, my only transport has had four wheels instead of two. But I'm getting tired of being only a cager. So, at the moment, I'm considering the Suzuki M50. I dig the cruiser-style bikes, particularly those with shaft drive, because I like riding them rather than working on them, and that's one that's caught my eye. But I've been toying with the idea of getting a scooter this time instead. I had one a while back, ages ago, and I've been considering the new Vespa GTS. So, not Apple II related, but since a bunch of you write into the show after every episode anyway, if any of y'all have any experience with either of those, or had to pick between one of them and something else and went with something else for some reason, then let me know. And I'll let you know what I end up tootling around on in the next show, which will come definitely before Kansas Fest, probably sooner than you think. So, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you on the flip side, daddy-o. You've been listening to 1 Megahertz, the Apple II podcast. Feedback and suggestions can be sent by email to feedback@monsterfeet.com. All the files and links mentioned in this episode can be found in the show notes in the 1 Megahertz section of the monsterfeet.com website. And like all Monsterfeet podcasts, all the original material in this episode is released to the public domain.